We can learn a lot about the Lord and His character by studying His names. We've been looking at the Jehovah compound names, and we start out with Jehovah Jireh, and that is the Lord will provide. Then we moved on to Jehovah Rapha, that means the Lord who heals. Jehovah Nissi, that's the Lord is my banner or standard. And then Jehovah Megadiscum, which means the Lord who sanctifies or makes holy. And then the Lord Kanesh Shemal, which means the Lord whose name is jealous. And then Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. And then Jehovah Hashapet, last week, the Lord our judge. And today we're looking at Jehovah Ra'ah, which means the Lord our shepherd. You know, the name occurs right there in Psalm 23:1, as you saw it. The Lord is my shepherd. And it is derived from the word that means to feed. It means to tend. It means to be a shepherd. A shepherd is one who feeds or leads his flock to pasture. One of the best descriptions of how God is our shepherd is found in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11 through 15. So in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11, it says this. It says, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered." He goes after the scattered sheep. "So I will seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and will gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down. Thus saith the Lord." So it's very, very interesting. He's talking about prophetically regathering Israel and bringing them back to their land and putting them in a time of safety where they feel they can be safe and lie down. When sheep are hungry or when sheep are frightened, they won't lie down. They just are standing up and they're pacing and they're causing all kinds of things. When you look at the word Ray, it's friend or companion. It can be that translated. And this shows the intimacy that God wants with us. God wants to be our friend. He himself wants to be the one who leads us, feeds us, guides us, and protects us if we will just cooperate with him. And Jehovah Ra means the Lord my friend. Now, as we look at Psalm 23, it's very, very familiar. It talks about our loving, compassionate, caring God who is described as our shepherd. And I'm so thankful that he cares for us and he promises to lead and provide for us in our life as believers. David wrote this psalm under the inspiration of the Lord, of course. David had been an earthly shepherd, and he thought that no other type of job could illustrate best the compassionate care that the Lord gives to you and gives to me. I read Psalm 23, and Psalm 23, I believe that David is foreshadowing Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, that was coming in the future. We talked about it this morning in our passage of Scripture, and that's, but I want you to turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 10 and 11. And in John chapter 10, in verse 10 and 11, it says, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And then he says this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. David lists for us what the Lord our shepherd does and promises to do for us, his people, both Old Testament and New Testament. And so let's consider some of the things that the Lord our shepherd does. Now, it's very interesting, before we get to those, the psalmist, who is David, he reaches out and he calls Jehovah his very own shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. That's an intimately personal thing. As we saw in Sunday school this morning, there's so many people who believe God's just a force. But our Lord wants an intimate relationship. He wants a personal relationship with us. God is a personal, loving Father. He is my shepherd. I want to stress, though, unless the Lord is your shepherd, that is, unless Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, the rest of the psalm does not belong to you. I get irritated when I go to a funeral and you know that the person is not a believer at all, and it seems like it never fails, they get up and read the 23rd Psalm. But unless you know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, the Lord isn't your shepherd at all. That doesn't apply to you. It isn't for you. It's for the sheep, those who are his sheep. Everything hinges on the personal pronoun, my. The Lord is my shepherd. Unless he is my shepherd, the rest of the psalm does not belong to you. On the other hand, if he really is your shepherd, everything in that belongs to you. By the authority of Christ's redemption, his death and his resurrection, you can trust him as Savior and call him your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, is he yours? I hope so. How does the Lord shepherd us? Well, let's look at verse 1. The Lord our shepherd supplies our needs. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, my thoughts went back as I was preparing this to Jehovah Jireh, the very first one we studied, which means the Lord will provide. That's what a shepherd does. The Lord provides for us spiritually. We know from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that he gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You don't need a shrink. Not at all. God has given us his word, and he'll provide for us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and he'll see us through. And he also provides for us on the temporal level, on the level of this world. Turn with me to Psalm 34, 9 and 10. Psalm 34. In Psalm 34, verse 9 and 10, it says this, it's a promise to us, "Oh, fear the Lord." What does it mean to fear the Lord? It's respect for his person. It's reliance on his purposes. And it is following his rules. That's what it is to fear the Lord. "Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." So the Lord does provide for us spiritually. He gives us all things that we need to live a successful Christian life. He gives us the Holy Spirit that indwells us. He gives us the Word of God. And then temporally. Now, allow me to put it in proper perspective when I say I shall not want. It doesn't mean you'll always be able to have the newest smartphone or that you'll be able to have the $250 a month Spectrum package. That's about what it runs. Neither does it mean that you'll always be able to buy a new car every other year. And it does not mean that you'll be able to go to the top-end Nordstrom store shopping every month and spend what you will. But it does mean that if God is your shepherd, He will meet your needs. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I shall have no lack thereof. I shall have what I need because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I found that to be true in my lifetime. When I was an assistant pastor, boy, things were tight. And yet the Lord opened some very good jobs for me. And one of them, you'll laugh, but one of them was working for Tom Bliss. He was the local undertaker in town. And Tom Bliss hired me to help him with removals. That means when somebody died, he needed somebody to go with him. And we would pick up that person and then take him in. And then I would help at funerals and that sort of things. But I mean to tell you, I made as much in one removal as I did the whole week of being an assistant pastor. All I'm telling you is that the Lord provided for our needs. I was able to minister and then work for Tom Bliss. I also substitute school taught. And I would never make it as a substitute teacher today. They would throw me right out on my ear because I didn't put up with any guff. But nonetheless, today I'd be in big trouble. But nonetheless, what I'm saying is the Lord has always provided for our needs. You know, and I've been here a long time, but this is the first church that I've ever been at that I haven't had to work a second or a third job. But my family never went hungry. The only time we went hungry is if we didn't want to eat. I remember when I pastored the church previously, there's a number of farmers in the church, and there is nothing like hand-churned butter. I remember the lady bringing us big packs of hand-churned butter from their cow's milk and eggs, and we would get a side of a part of a pig, and we would have pigs, and I raised chickens, and we had chickens. Linda can tell you about the time you need to keep the chickens cool when we got them before we could cut them up and freeze them. We had a whole bathtub full of chickens. But nonetheless, I'm just telling you that the Lord is my shepherd, and throughout our life, I have not wanted for needs. And my children will testify to that. Though I've done a lot of different things, the Lord has always opened that door. You know, if God takes care of the flowers, says that the lilies of the field were arrayed better than Solomon. If He keeps track of the hairs on your head, you have a few less, but anyway, if He keeps track of the hairs of your head and keeps track of the sparrows that fall, Matthew 6 and verse 28 and 29 tells you that He is going to care for His sheep as well. You know, therefore, why worry and get our life all messed up and fouled up about worrying about things? God knows our needs, and God knows what we have need of even before we ask. He does want us to ask because he wants us to pray, because that's an act of faith. But God knows our needs and will supply them because we are his sheep and he is our shepherd. In simple terms, just what it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack any provision in the needs of my life. There's another way to put it. Because the Lord loves me, as the good shepherd, I will never want for rest, refreshment, sustenance, forgiveness, restoration, fellowship, guidance, deliverance from fear, comfort in sorrow, victory over the enemy, security in troubled, a joy in the Lord, power for service, or a home at the end of my journey. I shall not want. Now, let's look at verse 2. The Lord our shepherd provides rest and refreshment. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, we cannot rest when we are fearful or troubled. There's been times that I've been fearful and troubled, and I lay there awake at night. I don't know if any of you had that. Instead of worrying about it, I often start praying, or Linda will often quote scriptures, and that will bring some comfort to our mind. But when we are saved, there's two aspects of peace. We have peace with God. Now, I've talked with a lot of people, and people call me up, and they're not saved, and you know what? They don't have peace with God. They're at war with God. They have turmoil inside. But as a believer, I have peace with God, and I have peace of God. Peace of God. The peace of God which passes all understanding. And that's when we allow the Lord to lead us. The picture here is tranquility of rest in an oasis-like surrounding. Man, oh man, it's very interesting to travel in Israel. And you get out in the Judean desert, and boy, talk about parched, talk about desert. But then you'll look and you'll see a little green area as you're looking down. You know what you have there? You have water. And so there is greenery and there is refreshment there. And you'll always find the animals there. That's right, because the Lord gives us green pastures and he leads us beside the still waters. When we follow our shepherd, we can have serenity from the frustration and the cares of the world. You know, our shepherd provides the place of calmness and respite. And I've experienced that. When we were fresh missionaries in Haiti, I had no idea that they were going to take me away right soon after I got there. And here's my wife with two little children, baby Steve and real baby Carla. They're there, and so I'm going off to evangelistic meetings. A huge storm comes. It washes out roads. It knocks out communication. And I am so worried about my wife. The radios are knocked out, so we couldn't get any radio communication. There wasn't any telephone service. That was well before there was cell phones. And so I just walked down to the Caribbean Sea, and I said, Lord, I've done everything to try and get back to my wife. No planes are flying. The roads are washed out. I can't get back. And so I know of no better hands to put my wife and two young children in than you. Please watch over them till I get back. And then I wrote our name in the sand and took a picture of that. I was trusting the Lord to watch over my family, because I couldn't be there to protect and to help at that time. And you know what he did? He gave me peace. even in the midst. I mean, it is crazy, literally crazy. I mean, very literally nuts when every night when you're trying to go to sleep, what you hear is voodoo drums and screams in the background. I know a lot about voodoo. I've seen it firsthand. I've heard it firsthand. I know what they do. But I am so thankful for the Lord my shepherd that makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. And in that time of crisis in my life, the Lord allowed me to do that. I have experienced that. Even recently, my dear wife in such pain with the hip replacement, and you joined us and we cried out to the Lord for an earlier hip replacement than April because she was in such great pain. And you know what? The Lord opened the door. And I'm so excited to look out there and see that lady here this evening. And God is giving us green pastures. Now the next one, Psalm 23 and the first part of 3, it says this, He restoreth my soul. The Lord as our shepherd forgives and restores. The Hebrew word for restore is a very interesting word. It actually means to bring back the soul that is flown away so that it comes to itself and therefore to impart new life. That's what Kylan Dalich says in their commentary. You know, this is what God does when we are out of the way. If we will come to the Lord, He will restore our soul. Quote, this He does to a soul by causing it to admit dryness and the heat of temptation and trouble and to taste the very essence of life which refreshes and strengthens it. Now, remember who's writing this psalm? David. David personally knew about the dryness that is caused by sin. Turn with me to Psalm 32, verse 1 through 5. Psalm 32, in verse 1 through 5, David is writing this. And you remember David's adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, and he was the one who caused the murder of Uriah the Hittite, her husband. And David writes this, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. It says, this is before he was right with God, before God restored his soul. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. He is upset in his innermost person as he struggles with this sin, and he kept silent about it. He wouldn't deal with it. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture turned into the drought of summer, Selah. Then he talks about the Lord restoring his soul. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. He restoreth my soul. David had grievously sinned and strayed from the fold, but his shepherd restored him. Now let's look at 3b and 4. Forgive me. 3b and 4 is Psalm 23. The second part of 3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Wow. You know, as I pondered the work of a shepherd, it dawned on me that, you know, sheep didn't need to know where the green pastures were. They didn't need to know where the still waters were. All they needed to do was follow the shepherd, because the shepherd knew where they were. As believers, God knows the best path for us to follow. We just need to follow him. Two passages that are very familiar to you. Quote it if you know it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. We just need to keep our eyes focused on our good shepherd Jesus. I remember a song that we taught our kids. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today. And that's true. That's true. God knows the path through the minefields. I remember going to Israel. And, you know, there's certain areas in Israel, there's been lots of wars in Israel, and there was a sign there, and I saw something that I wanted over there, and so I started walking over there. I saw the sign, but I don't read Hebrew. And my guide, which this time wasn't Malcolm, said, I wouldn't do that. I said, why? He said, it says, beware of mines. Now, people were walking there all the time, but our guide was taking us through the way that he knew was safe. And I'll tell you what, as it were, there are mines strewn all over, trying to hurt us, but our Lord knows the way in, around, and through them. Amen. And so I praise the Lord for that. All I have to do is follow. The Lord, our shepherd, leads us on the path of truth and righteousness. That's the right way. Because he is the God of truth. He is the God of righteousness. When his sheep follow him, he doesn't permit them to wander into the minefield of ruin. And as our shepherd, he promises to get each of us through. And barring the rapture, when one day we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, death does not hold a terror or fear for the child of God, because he's with us. And we will be with him. You know, the rod and the staff is very interesting. The rod and the staff, they were meant to, number one, the rod was a weapon to beat off wolves or whatever else, and the staff to guide us. It had a crook on it usually to pull us back. And this assures us that we will safely arrive to our heavenly destination at our appointed time. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, I think that the next two verses are cool. Verse 5 and 6 of Psalm 23, it says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, while David's enemies, they desired to harm him, they wanted to kill him, but they were helpless, and they had to look on David as God blessed him abundantly. That's what happened. The Lord our shepherd is really a great hospitable host. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. My enemies wanted to kill me, and here God is preparing me a feast. He is gracious host. I've told you before that, and this is true, there have been many threats on my life since I've been in the ministry here these 40 plus years. I've done many programs against the occult and against rock music, and some people are just plain idiots. I remember early on having an answering machine, and there was a young man who called up and threatened to kill us. And number one, it recorded the number that he called us from, and number two, it recorded his message. And so I called the number back, and a lady answered, and I said, "Do you have a son?" "Yeah." "Your son just threatened to kill me." "Not my son." I said, "Just a minute, listen." And I played it, and I said, "You know, you've got a half an hour. You can talk to your son, and he can call and apologize, or I'm calling the local police, and I have the time of your call, the content of your call, and where the call came from." Well, in 15 minutes, guess who is calling back and apologizing and saying that they wouldn't do it again? But you know, you have all kinds of nuts out there. But I'm telling you, very honestly, if you're walking in fellowship with the Lord, you're not going home to be with the Lord until he's ready to be done with you. It does tell us, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. You know, I've been shot at. I was shot at in 1981 when they broke into the church and set it on fire in three places. I had somebody right at the back of the church there threaten to kill me after a business meeting. But the fact is, as yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, if you get outside of the Lord's will, you can shorten your life. People have done that, and I've told you some of the stories through my ministry of those people who have done such a thing. But I am telling you, there's a little song that goes this way. Safe am I, in the hollow of his hand. Shelter o'er, I am safe forevermore. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What a wonderful shepherd we have. You know, John 37, can't even read my own notes. John 7, 37 and 38, it says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly floweth rivers of living water. My cup overflows." I've had so many opportunities, and some of you have too. When you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, isn't it interesting how the Lord brings to your mind when you're trying to witness to somebody the scriptures, and out of your innermost all of a sudden comes the scriptures where the Lord just gives you freedom of speech and direction and what to say, and my cup runneth over. Well, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wherever I go, throughout my pilgrim's journey on this earth, the goodness and mercy of the Lord our Shepherd will attend my path. And if you're a believer, will attend your path. And here's the cool part. At the end of the path, all the days of my life have been completed. When that happens, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord our Shepherd, Jehovah Ra, I'm thankful that he's my shepherd. If he's not yours, you can change that. The Good Shepherd gave his life for the sheep. And if you're not in his fold, if you put your faith and confidence in him, he'll make you a part of his fold. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for